Now, to understand Titus, you've got to recognize that the people that he was instructing were running a church where? Crete. Now, Crete was known for being a very sinful, very abominable, self-willed, lazy group of people kind of place. Welcome to America today. Amen? So what Paul is doing is he's bringing instruction to leaders on how to deal with people that are of this nature. He says, all Cretans are liars. Well, congratulations. Look at the people we handle today. Amen? I mean, to get the truth out of them is like pulling teeth. But getting lies is definitely easy. Amen? We deal with a slovenly, lying, self-fulfilling, not God-fearing people that need to learn the truth. Amen? Father, as I bring this word, let it be that each person in this place receive it, Lord. This is instruction for us that take the unlovable, that know that indeed they can be all things, but recognize where they're at, Lord. Let it be today that we receive this instruction from Paul in the spirit that it was meant, which is to help to bring others to know God, no matter how wicked they've been. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. It says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. What's he doing? He's just giving you his protocols, his kudos, his statements of fact, his absolute assurance that he was appointed for that time. To Titus, a true son in our common faith. He is talking to one of his children. Amen? Spiritual children. One that is about the work. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. What's he saying? In order for this to work, we have got to have leaders, and you are to appoint leaders. You've got to get a hold of this, that in everything that you do, you are to be looking for that new leader. Amen? Your instruction must be to notice those people that are sold out. Number one, as a leader, you must look for other potential leaders. Amen? That makes sense? That is one of your jobs always. You are always to be exploring the possibilities of somebody becoming a leader. You get it? Why? Because without leaders, your followers will just have chaos in their life. Now it goes on and it starts talking about, if a man is blameless, which means he's right with God, the husband of one wife, he's not a whore, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. What? His kids will not bring dishonor into his life. Amen? They are in control and under control. Right? But hospitable. Let me go back. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed. This is instructions. Not quick-tempered. Not a drinker, not violent, not greedy, but hospitable, loves people, a lover of what is good, dwells on those things that are good, sober-minded, straight-thinking, amen, about the things of God, straight-thinking, you know, calls it, sees it, lives it, right? just, always fair. Always fair. No favorites. Amen? Fair. Amen? Treats everybody the same, no matter how they think or feel. Holy. What does that mean? Loves God. Seeks God. Lives that life unto God. A sacrifice. Self-control. What does that mean? You stay in control. Amen? You don't just fly off the handle. You don't do what you want. You quit blowing it. You just are in control. Amen? Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Somebody that has been taught. This is very important. You recognize this. A person must be taught before they can teach. Right? Do you understand that? You got to get it. That he may be able by sound doctrine, which is teaching of truth, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. What does that mean? By his life, by his words, by his actions. He has the right to speak to others because he lives right himself. And let me, I cannot tell you any more than this on this subject. You got to be an example in order to expect people to follow you. Amen? And you must always be looking for another one that is striving to be an example. You got to get this. Now, he's dealing in a place where people are very much so like the people we deal with every day. That's why I like Titus. Why? Because it's relatable to the day we live in now. For there are many insubordinate, there is always going to be those that are trying to usurp authority. Right? There's a lot of idle talkers and deceivers, liars, cheats, schemers. Especially those of the circumcision. Those that are not Jewish by nature. Who have not been raised in the church. You know, have not been raised as his people. Whose mouths must be stopped. Right? What does that mean? That's like yesterday that guy was running his mouth, and what did I do? I jumped dead off in it. Right now. You know what? You can leave. You can shut up, or you can leave. No, you will shut up, or you will leave. Right? Just like that. He wants to run his mouth because that will subvert and bring rebellion into your house. People are not to talk back to you. Amen? Why? Because it starts rebellion in your house. You know what? I just very straight with people and I tell them, you're out of here. Well, you're kind of mean. No. You got a big stinking mouth, brother. Let me tell you the truth. Right? Okay. Whose mouth must be stopped? Whose mouth? Idle talkers and deceivers. Amen? People that are always running it with no substance, no godliness. What must happen? Their mouth must be stopped. Must be. You get it? Must be. This is instruction. Who subvert whole households. They will take followers that will follow them. They'll talk them into it, right? Hustling them into the pit. Teaching things which they ought not. That's why nobody's to be a teacher. Nobody's be a teacher unless I assign them to teach. Nobody. Right? For the sake of dishonest gain. Look at me. I'm the man. You following that? That's a whole line of thought. This is critical in the people we deal with that you get a hold of this. Don't you see it? It's plain to me that this guy is talking to us. Right? Do I jump right off in those people? Right now. Do I break it off this minute? Do I care? No. Why? Because one person will take your whole house down the road. Get it? You cannot have it. They can be here, be quiet, and learn, or not be here. Period. They got to run their mouths. They got to be a malcontent all the time, whatever. They just need to leave. Bye. See you later. You don't got to be mean, hostile. Just, hey, You're out of here. Why? Because the cost of being here is obedience. Never forget that. If they want to run their mouths, that's not being obedient. I don't got to put up with none of your crap. And I don't got to put up with none of their crap. I'm a teacher. I assume people are here because they want to learn, not because they're smart. If they were smart, I'd be sitting there and they'd be up here. That's the way God works. He puts the right person in that place. And I don't care what people think. Amen? God assigns. God is sovereign. If they can't handle that, a boo, a who. You know what I mean? Okay. It says, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Well, you know what? I've been one of those things, and I can tell you that it is true of most of the people we have. Amen? They're here to learn. This testimony is true. Therefore, what does it say? Rebuke them sharply. But be careful. If you're a jokester, if you're not living the life you should live, then it will blow up in your face. They will not respect you, and they will not listen to you. But it says that these kinds of people, what's it say to do? Rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Why do you rebuke them? To chastise them and bring them to truth. Amen? This is a good little book, huh? But how many of you really spent time in it? You get it? You see, the depth of the word is deep, but most people's exploration is superficial. All right? Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. Don't pay attention to things that are not written by the Word of God and are true. Don't listen to people's opinions. Don't listen to their side of the story. Right? They're here to learn the truth. No, that's wrong. But, no, that's wrong. But, no, that's wrong. But, shut up. Don't mention it again. Learn what's right. If you think you're right, goodbye. Why do you think I got rid of Victor? Huh? Why? Because he was always in that place where he think he was the only one that knew, and yet he's the one that just got off the crack pipe. Are you hearing me? Had he been taught? No, he had an unteachable spirit. If they have an unteachable spirit, they will contaminate those that have teachable spirits. Because on one case you got a sponge, and the other case you got an open sepulchre, which means that it is venomous coming out. And that venom will soak into that sponge. Amen? You can't have those people. That's like, if we have people right now that are unhappy. Now, if they're sick, okay. Then, you know, let them snivel a little bit. But if they're well and acting the same way, then we have a problem. Amen? That's the compassion side. Don't just jump. Try to know why. Some people have family problems. Some people have this problem. Some people have that problem. You know what I mean? That's the compassion side. Before you make that decision, know the truth. Don't assume you do. You get it? Because otherwise, there'll be people that just are explosive for a moment because of events, but really have a right heart, and you'll be too hard on them at the wrong time. And then that'll be on you. Right? Because you directly relate to lives. And if you don't take that responsibility seriously, you will hurt many lives. You get it? You don't drive a man out just because they're hurt. But you see why they're hurt. You know, when I have people, I got people here today that would not be here if I would not have walked around the corner and said, hey, what's really going on? Well, no. Stop the woof. You know what I mean? What's really going on? You understand? You got to do that. But you explain to them that you can't have them publicly making noise and nonsense, that they can't publicly be sown in division. You know what I mean? Because regardless of the hurt or not, you'll have to terminate them. Right? But you just want to know because you care. And once people think you care, I assure you they're going to listen to you easier than if you just bark at them all the time. Amen? I think everybody here knows that I care. They also know I'm very busy, but they know that I do care. I do care. But they also know that I ain't going to tolerate none of their crap. So you see, that's the line we all must walk. Amen? Okay. It says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments, right, who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. You cannot teach an unbeliever who does not want to learn. Amen? You cannot teach somebody that does not want to learn. You cannot. And in that case, they need to go live at the mission or whatever. They need to get out of here. Right? But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They don't know nothing. They profess to know God, but in worse they deny Him. How many times have we seen that? You know, they say they love God. They walk and run around after people with a Bible beating them on the head. That ain't God. You know what I mean? That's them. That's their flesh. Being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. There you go. That really states the qualifications of people that know or don't know. If they are rebellious, if they are disobedient, if they deny Him who is God, well, I don't know if He's real or not, man. Right? You've heard it. Then you can't do nothing with them. Terminate them. Get them gone. But don't do it in a mean way. Hey, you know what? Go downtown. Go to the mission. No. This is a discipleship, brother. This is a place where people come to learn about the Lord. They ain't come here to run nothing. Amen? They came to learn. Right? But as for you, always, 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 quit your stinking rattling. You understand? Quit rattling. Quit just making noise. Quit being in jest. Quit always being a jokester. When you speak, make it be that everybody hangs on your words. How do you do that? Every time you speak, speak doctrines of God. Quit your worldliness. Quit your talking about music and madness. Quit your talking about preferences, your old life, those kinds of things. You know, I do talk about it. I use it to encourage people to let them to know that they can come from anywhere and go somewhere. But if you think that's the gist of my conversation, you're out of your mind. Do you understand? Only speak things that are edifying. Do not get involved in bullshit sessions no more. Hustling and the discussion of madness and music and all the rest of that. Stop it. That's why people won't listen to people. Because when they open their mouths, there's nothing worth listening to. Amen? So it says, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Brother, you need to get right. I love you, but you know what, brother? Let's pray. You have a problem. Amen? It says, things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober. What does that mean? Straight. Not to the left and to the right. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, I have some beliefs. And let me explain them to you. A lot of what you've been through in your life is directly related to what outside input you've had in your life. To this day, I do not like alternative music. I do not like rap. I do not like a lot of different things because what it brings, if you listen to the secular side, is madness into people's lives. Amen? You cannot take chaotic music and tell me that it makes sense. It is the wildness inside of you that you are feeding by that kind of music. Amen? It's the rebellion. Why do people dye their hair purple and green and do all those other crazy things? Why? It is the feeding of the rebellion in them. It is a feeding frenzy that goes on and they hang around people just like them. Did you get that? That's why I do not like those styles of music. That's why I do not like those styles of living. Because I had my own madness, but do I look like that madness today? And do I live that madness today? No, I had to separate myself from those things. Amen? So do you. Let's just be real here for a minute. If you listen to wild, crazy, rebellious music, How many people are going to listen to you as a leader? You think about it. You think about that. Because it is still a reflection of the madness that still lives in you. And people recognize that. And I don't care if you're saved or not. And I'm not telling you, you know I'll use anything. Right? What was rap formed on? Gangster rap was formed on killing. My mama, dope, this, all the rest of that noise. What is alternative music formed on? The wildness and the craziness and the nonsensical things. They're just the pure rebellion of life. You know, rock and roll, I have my own opinions. But I'm going to tell you this, that I don't care what people listen to, as long as it's about God. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If people come to your house and you're a leader, and you put on wild rock music or wild alternative music, they're going to quit listening to almost everything you got to say. Amen? That is a childlike inside of you rebellion that is still existent that causes you to do those things. How many of you have been to my house at all or been to my office and heard me playing anything? Nah. You know why? Because I need every brain cell totally focused on what I'm doing. I am no longer a person that is a worker. A lot of you guys are used to working and listening to stuff. I am a leader, and every ounce of my brain and every piece that I have always concentrates on the things of God. My wife plays loud music, I go in and turn hers off. I don't care. You understand? You got to get a hold of this. I am talking about characteristics in this class of a leader. I am not talking about your personal preferences. Your personal preferences must die in order for God to pour into you what He needs to pour in. Amen? See, to me, it's not a joke. And I'm not saying this thing just because I don't like music. Because I do like music, and I have liked it all. I was the guy that went to see Jimi Hendrix live. When you guys were maybe a glimmer in your daddy's eye or not. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like I haven't been through the whole music scene. But I'm going to tell you this, that you think about what I just said, and you're going to find out that, you know what? He's right. It is a reflection of the inner madness that still reigns in you. And when people hear it, they quit listening to you. Because you're still in that form of rebellion that you came out of, and you need to get over it. Amen? It says that the older men be sober, reverent, respectful. Did you get that word? Respectful. Not disrespectful with sharp voices and got to have the last word and all. Respectful. Temperate. What does that mean? Even keeled. You know what I mean? Not going too far this way, not going too far, but centered. Sound in faith. A practicer of faith. In love. In patience. And then it goes on to say, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous. Women like to gossip. A woman of God has got to quit that. Amen? Got to get over it. Men like to gossip too, but with women, they're always talking, and they got to really watch it. Women are talkers. You understand? They really are. They communicate a lot. I read that book, Men are from Mars and women are from Venus. And, you know, I read it and I went, duh. Sounds like they were in my damn bedroom. You know what I mean? I'm just being, it's just the truth. And women are just like that. They're talkers. And because they talk much, they get caught up in things they shouldn't get caught up in. Amen? Don't be like that. All right. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things, not bad ones. You know what? You guys have got to be the people that teach people good habits and don't teach people your bad habits. As you're dealing with your bad habits, stay away from people. You know what I mean? Go tell your stupid jokes or whatever to a wall somewhere. Go blubber and blabber and whatever you want to do to a mirror. But quit babbling in front of others. Amen? Why? So that when you do say something in front of them, they will listen. It says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You know, this is a dying world in this area. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. What am I always telling you to do? Be sober-minded. Straighten up. Get rid of your character defects in those areas. Just straighten up. Sober-minded means straight thinker. Amen? Win always. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. What does that mean? You need to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, which means that you live and follow the doctrine you believe. Reverence, incorruptibility, not one that just falls off the turnip truck whenever it goes around a corner, but one that hangs on no matter what. Right? Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Always speaking truth. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say to you. Amen? It says in verse 10, not pilfering, stealing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of the great God and Savior Jesus, who gave himself for us. It says, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. What does that mean? You've got to be right to be able to do these things. And when you are right, you've got to look for other people that are trying to get right and pour into those, that they may become the person that God wants them to be. And again, you know, it's like I told people that yesterday or whatever I think it was, I just told you that you need to remember that it takes years for these things. Amen? So, like, when I'm speaking, don't sit there and feel condemnation. But, of course, if the conviction's there, receive it. And pray in those areas that God help you in these areas. But, you see, when I'm telling you to pray, I'm not talking about putting it on your prayer list. If you see these character defects in your life, then you need to stay on your faith and diligently seek God in these areas. And when you diligently seek God in these areas are going to clean up in your life. But if you pray a little pitiful prayer every time you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, that don't mean nothing. Do you understand? You know, everybody's sorry when they get caught. How about we have godly sorrow and seek Him for those things all the time to work through those issues? You know, of course we're sorry when we get caught. But how about we just work immediately in our prayer life and steadfastly in our prayer life to get past these things so we don't get caught, but we get delivered from these areas of our life. Amen? You know, I have many areas still left to live, to work on, and so does everybody. And in chapter 3 it says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. What does that mean? You're always supposed to be ready. You're not supposed to be sniveling if you get an extra chore. Amen? You know, quit feeling like you're abused. I don't see no wounds in your hands. I don't see no spear piercing in your heart. I don't see any one of you starving. Do you get it? And I'm just sitting there trying to be straight, you know? So, you know, like, we're all abused. Why? Because you think you're doing more than somebody else? Are you? I sincerely doubt it. And I don't see none of the things I just said in your life. So, get out of your pity party when you are challenged in areas that you need to grow in. Amen? That's all. I mean, you know, there's a lot of days I get up really early and I go to bed really late to prepare for days like today when I'm teaching. You don't know, or maybe you do know, or maybe you're now starting to get an idea how much time it takes on my part to get ready to do things like this. You understand? Study and preparation is not just a reading and making notes. It is seeking God in a prayer life that helps me to bring to you what you need to hear every day. Amen? And it is the diligence that brings that to pass, and a prayer life seeking these things from God that I am always talking about, a real prayer life, where it's not a sham, but the real thing is going to be what changes your life. Sure, you pray hard when you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar. But why don't you pray hard whether your hand is in the cookie jar or not? You understand? Because that is the solution to the problem. Not walking around kicking your butt, oh, I blew it. You blew it because you were not close to the Lord and you were not close in the time you needed to be, and that's why you blew it. Amen? Grab a hold of this. So you're always to be about good works. Amen? To speak evil of no one, quit running other people down. This person, that person, this, that. No. Be peaceful, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. A lot of us get to a place where we forget where we came from. And we deal with people that are going through the same issues that you went through. But we flat forget. And we expect more of them than what they are capable of giving. Amen? Mercy. In verse 8 it says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works." What does that mean? Examine what you're doing and ask yourself, is that God? Always being careful. "These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes." You know what I mean? You don't need to be involved in those things. Genealogies, "I'm the son of who and who." Contentions, which leads to division, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Quit trying to exhibit your knowledge or lack of knowledge in the Bible by arguing. Amen? You learn the truth. You walk the truth out. And if somebody disputes with you, then you pray that God would show them the truth. But do not dispute. Reject a device of man after the first and second admonition. What does that mean? There are some people that are just arguers. Right? So you tell them to knock it off once. You tell them to knock it off twice. And then you tell them if he doesn't knock it off, he's out of here. You get it? See how good the word is? It gives us instruction all the way through. We just got to read it. That's where everything came from, I know. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Right? You see, people, you have to look for other potential leaders. You have to stay in check in your life. You must not be judging yourself by others, but by what the Word of God says. You must be steadily seeking God every day of your life. You must be in prayer before your hands in the cookie jar. Amen? It really is the trick, and you got to be specific in your prayer. God, help me in this area of my life. You know what I mean? Help me, God. Help me. Steadily seeking Him. Right? You need to have a scheduled prayer time. Does that mean you got to get up earlier? That's what it means for me. Amen? I don't know how you guys do it. Sometimes I walk by and guys are in bed on the first floor. It's time to get up. There's already guys on the first phase getting up. I walk by on the first floor here and my leadership's kind of like moseying. How do you do it? And the answer is, you don't. That's why you suffer. Because your prayer life is a very important part of your well life in God. And you got to get prayed up before you meet anybody. If you think I go talk to my wife before I pray, you're out of your mind. When I walk out my door, I expect for people to be right there. Why? Because they usually are. Amen? So you got to get that connection with God in. You got to have that personal thing with God every day. You got to be ready and in remembrance of where you came from. You got to deal with people in a way that at times you're very firm, but you know, at other times you make sure that before you just jump, that you know the whole story. Amen? You got to do those things. It's all part of being a leader. And you need to always be looking for others that have leadership potential, but you do not show them favor. You actually put them through more trials than anybody else. Did you get that? Why? Because if they're going to be the leader God wants them to be, they will go through more trials than anybody else. Father, I love you, God. And let it be today that we just receive this word. Titus is such a small book, but God, there is so much wisdom in it. We thank you for sending your servant Paul to write this for us, God, for your Holy Spirit to help him in it, Lord. But above all, God, we want you to know that we love you, God. We need your help in order to serve you today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.